Okay.
Good.
Okay, good.
All right, it is 7:05. I apologize for the delay. I call this meeting the Mayor and Council of the Township of Clinton, April 28th, 2021, to order. Madam Clerk, have we met all the requirements of the Open Public Meetings Act and the Sunshine Laws?
Yes, we did.
Thank you very much. Roll call, please. Oh, I'm sorry, we'll salute the flag. We'll do the flag salute first.
Okay.
For those folks who don't have one, I have one behind me. Please join me in the flag salute. I pledge allegiance to the flag.
United States of America.
To the United States of America.
For which it stands. One nation.
For which it stands.
Indivisible. Liberty and justice for all.
Indivisible with liberty and justice for all. Now we'll have roll call.
Councilman Glazer?
Here.
Councilman Strauss?
Here.
Councilwoman Switlick? Is she still on?
Here.
Council President Kasanowski?
Here.
Mayor Millay?
Here. First item on our agenda is comments from the public for items listed on the agenda. I'm going to read some instructions to which I'm going to add a couple of things. First, please note we will have two public comment periods. The first will be for items that are listed on the agenda, and the second will be for items not on the agenda. If you are using a computer, click on Participants and then click on Raise Hand next to your name. If you are using a mobile device, click Raise Hand from the meeting controls. If you are using a telephone, press star 3. You will hear a prompt. You have raised your hand to ask a question. Please wait to speak until the host calls on you. If you need to unmute yourself, press star 6. I will do my best to call on people in the order in which they raise their hands. Everyone will be limited to 3 minutes. I would point out that if you wish to speak about either of the items on our public hearing list, those being the disc golf or the ordinance for the capital improvement police department equipment, I would ask that you hold your comments until that time. All right. Are there any hands raised from the public? Now is your chance to discuss any items on the agenda. I don't see any hands on the agenda. I would ask anyone on the phone to try star 6 if they'd like to speak. Do so now. Seeing and hearing none. Anyone else I missed like to unmute and say anything otherwise? Oh, I hear somebody. Anyone for public
comment?
This is
Matt.
That's for me.
Ah, all right. Is there anyone for public comment on items on the agenda only? Going once, going twice. I hereby close the first public comment session. We'll move to the consent agenda. All items listed with an asterisk are considered to be routine by the Township Mayor and Council and will be enacted by a single motion. There will not be separate discussion of these items unless requested by the Mayor, a Council member, or a citizen, in which event the item will be removed from the general order of business and considered in its normal sequence on the agenda. Anyone from Council wish to pull an item from the consent agenda?
No.
Don't.
Okay. Anyone from the public wish to pull an item from the consent agenda, please feel free to unmute yourself. If you're on the phone, star 6. Hearing none, may I have a motion to move the consent agenda, please?
I'll move.
I have a second.
I'll second.
Thank you much. Roll call.
Councilman Glazer?
Yes.
Councilman Strauss?
Yes.
Councilwoman Switlick?
Yes.
Council President Kasanowski?
Yes.
And Mayor Malloy?
Yes. We'll move on now and we'll adjourn as the Board of Health and, I'm sorry, adjourn as Council and convene as the Board of Health. Our first application to before the Board of Health is Block 9, Lot 5, 4 Hunters Path Road. Who is here for that application?
I am. Chris Busser, UNLP.
You got both?
What's that?
You have both?
I have both. Nice. Yes.
Let's deal with this one first. That's what you've got.
Sure. So we have three waivers that are being requested. Would you like me to share my screen? I know everybody has the plan in their package.
Go ahead. Do you need to be given permission?
Nope, it's letting me. So there we go. Should be up.
Yep, got it.
Okay, so three waivers. The first is the disposal bed is 97 feet from this well, where 100 feet is required. The second is the system is a bottom-lined installation as opposed to a soil replacement fill enclosed installation, which means it doesn't have the 2-foot buffer around the edge. The third being that there needs to be a minimum of 42 inches of separation from the bottom of the basin flood test pit and the proposed level of infiltration, where this design only proposes 35 inches. Pretty straightforward. This is, again, a repair of a malfunctioning system. The system is proposed to be an advanced treatment system. You can see on the plan here, there's a lot of slope. There's a wall here, and then there's a significant amount of slopes coming down to Cokesbury Road. So a lot's pretty well constrained on where the system can go. If we move the system, you say, well, why can't we just move the system 3 feet further out to meet that 100-foot requirement? We get pretty close to that wall, and we're going to start impacting the structural integrity of that wall, and obviously we don't want to do that. It's the same thing with the fill replacement, the fill enclosure. Same concern. By adding that 2 feet all the way around the system, not only do we get closer to the well with that, but then we're pushing closer to the wall. Finally, the separation from the bottom by being 7 inches short. The issue is if we go and meet that requirement, the system goes from being a gravity system to being a pumped system, and now we have to find a place, we have to place a tank, and it creates additional constraints on the lot. The system as designed is above and beyond your normal gravity system. Again, it's advanced treatment. We've agreed to install a UV filter on the well line as it comes in, so that if there is any impacts, which we would not anticipate to the well from the septic system, because the septic, again, is downgrade from the well on the other side of the house, that it would be treated so that there would be no ill effects on the property owner. If this well had 50 feet of casing, which we're not aware of, this would be allowable in its location. It could be as close as 50 feet. We just don't have that information, and which is why we had proposed the UV treatment device. Same would go for those second and third waivers that are being requested. Because this is an advanced treatment system, that separation from the bottom of the pit to the proposed level of infiltration is less necessary. We don't have normally this requirement is there because you need to have a certain depth of your zone of treatment, and because we have an advanced treatment system, that is significantly reduced. So we don't actually need to have that provide that area. We're still providing the required zone of treatment above the point of the level of infiltration. That's what I got for you on this one.
Okay.
Any questions?
I think the first one's pretty straightforward. What's the practical impact of the difference between the 42 inches and the 35 inches? I know that you'll have to have the UV system that helps, but why are they looking for 42 inches of separation between that?
Again, ultimately, you need to have your normal zone of treatment. Normal system has a, you know, a 4 foot zone of treatment. So they want 42 inches in that area so that, your zone, you know, you have an adequate zone of treatment within your house.
Yeah.
But here we have an advanced treatment system, and so it's, you know, that zone of treatment is reduced because the hoop tank, the advanced treatment tank, takes care of a lot of the treatment of the system. I'm sure somebody's come in here and already told you that you could drink the water that comes out of that hoop tank. Not that anybody would ever do it, but, you know, I will reiterate again, what comes out of that tank is effectively clean. So that, you know, the impacts from that and again, the impacts from having that fill enclosure around the edge,
are minimal,
you know, are mitigated by having this in.
Are there any questions from council?
No.
No.
Okay. Hearing none, would someone like to offer a motion to grant the waivers as stipulated in the letter from the County Board of Health, or Health Department, rather, with those conditions?
I'll make the motion.
May I have a second?
Second.
Councilman Glick?
Yes.
Councilman Strauss?
Yes.
Councilwoman Swetlick?
Yes.
Council President Kaczynowski?
Yes.
Chair Malloy?
Yes. Thank you much. We'll move on to block 4.03, lot 31, 1070 Route 22. And Chris, before you start, I just want to confirm that this application does not propose an expansion of the current system over and above what the current system has.
There's no proposed expansion of the gallonage that's produced by the system. The system is oversized. Baker wants the system to be oversized so that it lasts longer. You know, he's in construction, the additional cost to build the system larger, isn't as important as making sure the system lasts as long as it can. So the system is oversized. Yes, I understand that the system was designed for 1,500 gallons per day, that it's designed and permitted for 500 gallons per day right now, what the uses are on the property. We understand that there cannot be an expansion of the gallonage beyond that 500 gallons per day, but the system is just designed. It's over-designed.
So it could accommodate more capacity from the site than the current system.
Yes, that's correct.
Trish,
I'm looking at our code, and because it could accommodate an expansion of existing permitted uses of the property, that would require a variance from the zoning board because it is in the required setback.
It would require a variance from the board, from the...
Yeah, under the land use, under the zoning regulations, section 165-98, D5, septic systems can be located within a required yard setback, but only, you know, there's some limitations, and the one that's pertinent here is that's provided that the system isn't sized to accommodate any expansion of the property's existing permitted use. And you were just candid that this one is oversized and could accommodate an expansion of the property, of the use of the property, therefore this particular exception in the code doesn't apply, and that means it would require a variance.
Okay, so, I mean, despite the fact that there is no intention otherwise, it's just simply oversized in its design?
Correct.
Okay.
Because I think the language of the ordinance specifically relates to capacity, not,
mm-hmm.
not approved use or intended use of the site.
Yep.
Okay.
I was hoping you were going to say the same.
Yeah, sorry, I can't. it's pretty clear on the plan that the system was designed for a larger gallonage. So.
Yeah, I think you'll need to discuss with Denise maybe in the morning.
Okay. So then this one comes off the table.
Yeah, Trisha, do we need a motion?
I would make a motion to deny the
waiver request.
Deny the request because a variance is required.
Yeah, I'll make that. I'll move that we deny the waiver due to the variance required.
I'll second that.
Councilman Glazer?
Yes.
Councilman Strauss?
Yes.
Councilwoman Slitwick?
Yes.
Council President Kuchinowski?
Yes.
Mayor Malloy?
Yes.
Thanks, everybody. Have a good night.
Yep. All right. We will adjourn as the Board of Health, reconvene as Mayor and Council, and we will turn to reports. Councilman Glazer, you go first.
Yeah, very short report tonight. No changes since the last Council meeting. There's a Planning Board meeting slated for Monday night. The agenda has not been released. I think there might be one application. And Historic Preservation has not met. We meet next Wednesday night.
Excellent. Thank you much. Councilman Strauss.
Good evening, everyone. The Clinton Township Board of Education met this past Monday, which I reported on the last meeting. They were going to have a vote that night. So they did pass the budget. The budget does reflect an increase of 3.27%, which roughly comes out to the average household assessment, about $13 a month on an increase. Partial due to this increase in budget was the loss of Lebanon Borough Sending District to Clinton Public Schools, which was something that was in the works for a few years now and has finally come to fruition. Some upcoming events that I felt worthy of mentioning, they have staff appreciation starting next week, May 3rd through 7th. The following week is School Nurses Day on May 12th and Special Education Week May 10th through the 14th. The school board is happy to report that they're in their second full week of in-person learning, with some students still choosing virtual attendance as a means of learning. And the next Board of Education virtual meeting is on Monday, May 10th, 2021 at 7:30 p.m. For the Environmental Commission, I know at the last meeting I gave quite a lengthy report. So the only thing I have to add is that our next meeting is actually next Thursday. I believe that's the 6th of May, and that's at 7:30 p.m. Virtually as well. Public safety, I know the mayor and I still have a meeting. We have to meet with Chief of Lebanon Fire Company, and we also have a meeting with Lieutenant DeRosa regarding the new promotional process that we need to schedule. And I know that the body-worn cameras is on the agenda as well tonight, and of course I reported on that as well at last meeting. For my official reports, that's it. Just a few side items. Mayor, just wanted to let you know that there's been no action taken at the trees yet next to the firehouse. They're still.
Yeah, I had an exchange with the landscape architect, and I've got to give him a call because I have to clarify some things on whose responsibility is what. So I have that on my to-do list.
Okay. And again, as I always said, feel free if you want to pass something over. I had a report of a safety issue at the Field of Dreams that I did report to Tom Sylvia, which she got right out there to address. I had a resident suggest that a stop sign be placed at the exit to Bug Park. And briefly conversation you and I had today, sir, about the cannabis ordinance that's coming up for discussion next month as well. One thing that I did want to mention, and it's noteworthy, is that Senate President Steve Sweeney has proposed legislation about the warehouse bill that's being cloned as, because many municipalities and it's actually coming out of this end of the state, Somerset and Warren counties, with warehouse sprawl. And it's always being done on the border of the adjoining town. How funny. So worthwhile looking at that. I doubt it'll ever be in place in time, but I'll let you guys connect the dots, but the league is supposedly opposing that bill. That's all I have to report.
I did actually hear about that bill just recently, and we'll have to see where that bill goes. It's a little late for us, I think.
But like I said, typical for municipalities to place undesirable developments such as warehouses of affordable housing on boundaries. So,
and I would add, and maybe Administrator Mekovic, it's a good idea. A new process has been initiated at DPW. They're using work order forms, so such requests as stop signs at Bunt, I think maybe we can come up with an efficient and effective manner of getting those work orders entered and over to Jay and the folks at DPW so they get acted upon in a efficient manner. So something I think we can take a note of and design a nice streamlined process for. So glad I made a note. All right, Council President Kaczynowski.
Wait.
Oh, sorry, Councilwoman Switlik.
You don't want to hear my report, do you?
I apologize.
You don't want to listen to 10 minutes of the report. The North Voorhees Board of Ed was just last night, their meeting, and they had their budget hearing and adoption. It was approved with one no vote and two abstaining. As I have reported previously, the tax increase is 1.6. 66% of the budget is salary and benefits as usual. They did have some savings from their new health insurance that they are using this year. The problem is, and we know this is the case, is we have now $500,000 less from the state this year, and we know that trend is going to continue, so it's causing a problem, obviously. And they also have a reduction in surplus. The Clinton Township portion is going down 1.3%. So this is calculated through the rateables and student population. And their next board meeting is May 18th with their goal setting on that date. Open space, Marukian will be talking in depth about the disc golf during the hearing. The 5K track over at Marukian, Les, Rich, and I went over there last Friday to look at some alternate routes for the trail system to make sure it's still a 5K in anticipation of the affordable housing. Les came up with some great ideas, and I appreciate the effort he's putting into it. Prospect East, the trails are completed and marked. We're cleaning up the dump. I don't know if any of you guys have seen the pictures of the dump, but it's incredibly large. The garbage and the tires have been separated, and we expect the dumpsters this week. Resident Bill Martin, who is the landowner next to Prospect, our property, has allowed us to use his property for the dumpster space and the garbage removal. The health department happened to be up there reviewing his property and looked at our situation and was very pleased that we were cleaning it up, first of all. But secondly, they actually offered funding for the tire removal. We have, I guess, like, I'm going to say 200, if not 300 tires sitting up there from the stump. So I'm in communications with them. I did talk to one of the women today, and she said that if I talk to her on Tuesday, we might have the opportunity of them actually just taking care of it for us. So I'll keep you updated on that. I'm really excited about that because tire disposal is a big problem and expensive. Windy Acres, the foundation will be poured this week, I believe, or next. The trails are drying up, and I have a trail maintenance session May 15th. So anybody can come over and help volunteer. I'd like to teach some people how to do trail maintenance because we need that throughout the year. We had our forestry management walk on April 13th. We discussed proper forestry management, and we look forward to getting her report. She also updated our trail map for us. for the whole Windy Acres parcel. So that includes the new trails and the existing trails that the Environmental Commission put in. Beaverbrook Ravine, we had a property walk on April 19th with Raritan Headwaters and the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Services. We met at the dam at Beaverbrook. They are very pleased we're taking the initiative for potentially removing the dam. And it seems that we probably are looking at water assessments. I had mentioned before we had it at Windy Acres. We might have it at this location as well as Windy Acres. I think that's it. I just wanted to bring up one thing. This past year, 2020, the open space, environmental, and historic, I mean, they've really helped me a lot with just my projects, and I know they really go above and beyond. I'm very happy with all of them, and I know we talked about doing some type of volunteer barbecue thing or something like that, and it, you know, gets to the wayside, and I just really would like to do something, like maybe a fun park, hamburgers, hot dogs, maybe in the fall, just for the actual volunteers. I'm not sure, the planning board and whatnot. Just throwing that out there. I know we discussed it before. That's it.
Amy, if I could ask you, did you hear about, I was reading some pending legislation for municipalities that have over a certain amount of acreage of open space have to come up with a forest management program, and this is being lobbied by timber companies with the hopes of coming in and cutting down trees.
It's a logging bill, isn't
This was going to be part of my report.
Oh, go ahead then, Brian, because you probably know more than I do.
No, it's all right. Okay. No, it's good.
It's important. It's very important.
Attention to this stuff. Amy, this is what Rich opined on. There were three bills. One is a forestry management bill that requires all municipalities to create a forest management plan for lots or forests greater than 25 acres. But the second bill, the companion bill, removes local municipal oversight for that plan. The plan has to be approved by the folks at the state. Actually, I was just pulling up the third bill. We have Rich here, so this may be helpful, but the third bill sets a minimum acreage for prescribed berms, which is a little less applicable to us, 50,000 acres in the Pinelands and additional 10,000 acres outside the Pinelands. But Rich, I thought, had some really good suggestions for how the bills could be improved. I think a couple of the bills are salvageable if the legislature were to modify them. And I think one bill is really quite bad. So I was actually going to ask if the council feels comfortable enough to do so that we authorize a letter to be sent. I would be happy to sign it to our legislators and the key policymakers with those suggestions and criticisms of those three bills, which could adversely impact a lot of our open space. And I will ask Mr. Shaw to chime in and elucidate with any details that I may have omitted.
Yeah, and Brian, thanks. Let me just give this in a nutshell. I did research the three bills, and the first two bills, as you say, one is to require forest management plans pretty regularly, and then the other one, it basically disintermediates the municipalities from that process and decision making. And you know, it's interesting because in 2017, Clinton Township had a referendum that passed by 57% of the vote to provide more of a focus on developing and maintaining the properties we had, still allowing for properties to be acquired. But what the township has been doing since that passed is really, I think it's been meeting the intent of those two bills. So I think the 2017 referendum and then following ordinance and change in focus was prejudiced, because that's effectively what those two bills require. And we are doing, you know, as several of you know, forest management plans for the major properties, going through them as quickly as we can in a priority order and implementing a lot of environmentally based improvements. And the other bill, I think, is a very interesting thing. Everybody, my daughter is just telling me that they're just starting the fire season in California, and they're having controlled burns out there as fast as they can to mitigate the danger out there. And the third bill, looking for controlled burns, is that right, at least right now, it's predominantly the pine barrens, but it's an excellent idea. And, you know, I think it's seen by native populations, by forest management people to be a great thing to do. I just walked through Round Valley State Park where they did a whole bunch of very successful controlled burns. It's something that we should be considering in the township. But I think those three bills were very interested, and I think all of them had a point, but I don't know that the point that they were making from a legislative standpoint was the right one.
And I would add that, of course, the requirement for us to have a forest management plan by the state did not come with any funding mechanism from the state either. So yet another unfunded mandate.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I think yeah, a letter from the township, again, I'd be happy to sign it, with outlining in detail some of those concerns might be beneficial. So if we have a consensus, or
I agree with that, Brian.
Chris, do you think we need a motion or?
Agreed.
I mean, consensus is fine. A motion is fine. Either way, as long as it's, you know, reflected in the minutes,
yeah,
that the discussion took place and council was, you know, all on the same page.
Okay. Good. So it sounds like we have consensus. So if
yeah,
we reflect that in the minutes, we'll get that letter out as soon as there's feasible. And thank you, Mr. Shaw, for your detailed analysis. It was quite helpful. Moving on in my reports, I canceled, the Rec Committee canceled their meetings. So aside from their preparations for Summer Rec and ongoing preparations for a food truck event in June, as well as Community Day, which will be in September, they've also got, hopefully breaking ground in a few weeks, replacement of the basketball courts and tennis court, well, construction of tennis court and
pickleball.
Pickleball, thank you. It escapes me. On the personnel side, we are continuing to look for a clerical assistant. I know we've got some interviews under our belt already, but that's moving along. We will have on the agenda later today the hire for our police department, or an administrative person that will help the department, especially with all that they'll have to deal with as they have added requirements for related to body cameras and the new marijuana law and their evidence requirements. And last but not least, we will be looking hopefully very soon for a replacement in our public works department. After speaking with Jay today, it looks like we'll be looking for somebody with an HVAC certification as well. So if anybody knows of anyone who might be interested in working for Public Works, I think we'll be accepting resumes in the very, very, very near future. And I'd also point out that the resolution on for this evening appointing Steve Farcio as the assistant prosecutor will be pulled. There were some complications that came up, so it may come back at a later date, but for the time being, we're going to remove that. And Administrator Mekovic, do you have anything to report?
Did you skip somebody?
Yeah, you skipped me, Brian.
Oh, shoot. You know, I went for months.
I know. It's all right. Listen, the good news is I have nothing to report on my two committees. However, I would like to say that one of the families in the township, the Shields family, lost their house in a fire. They lost everything. So through the high school, they have a GoFundMe situation where they're trying to help the family out. I just wanted to bring that attention to the council and anyone else listening. That's it.
Thank you. Now, Ms. Mekovic,
I have nothing.
All right. Lieutenant DeRose.
I think you covered it all.
Yep.
Thank
Lieutenant,
you.
You're on. Do you want to say anything?
No report. No report from me.
Very good. Thank you much. At this time, we'll move to public hearings. The first public hearing will be for the change of use for the disc golf course at Marukian. I'm going to do a couple things. This is a little bit unusual for us, so bear with us. I would point out that we'll begin with a brief presentation. Councilwoman Switlik, Open Space Committee members and volunteers involved in the effort will discuss it briefly, after which we'll have some opportunity for comments, questions, well, more questions, I should say, from council. And then we'll open for a public hearing. I'm going to have a little bit longer of a time limit. We'll do a 5-minute time limit. You can ask questions, make your comments. After the public hearing is closed, it's important for me to note that there will be a 2-week period in which you can submit written comments. So that'll be open. And we will not actually be taking any action on this. There will be no vote on this proposal until our August meeting. So bear that in mind as well. That being said, I will share the map Councilwoman Switlik asked me to share.
Thank you.
And hopefully, come on. Let's do this. Hopefully you can see the right thing.
Yes, that's not. Google.
Hang on a second.
Okay. Perfect.
All right. Councilwoman Switlik, would you like to go?
Yes. Thank you for putting that on there for me. This is a change of use. I don't think, Brian, you and I have been involved in government for like over 15 years. I don't think I've ever experienced a change of use. Have you? It's a very new experience, so it's learning experience. I just want to start by thanking the people who have helped move this along. I think all of us are new to this. Vita and Tom, Sylvia have been working for months on the application, dealing with the DEP, doing the sign, that billboard on 31. That was impressive. So I really appreciate all the time you put into it. And I would also like to thank Ben Hunt, who I think is on the call, and Matt McCourt, who has helped design. They've done a lot of property walks and came up with some really good ideas. And also the open space members who have been very supportive through all our projects, but, you know, with this one as well. And they are supporting this initiative as well as volunteering their time and doing a lot of property walks. But most importantly, I want to thank Nancy, who isn't here from the DEP, but will hear the transcript, has been literally holding my hand through this entire process. It's very confusing, and she's been really helpful to Tom and Vita as well. So I'm appreciative of that. All right, moving right along, I want to talk a little bit about this design here. I have Rich Shaw on the call. He just spoke about some legislation. He's just here to make a comment. They're not on trial. Ben Hunt, and he's also, I believe, on the call. I think I saw him call in. He is the one that would be heading the volunteerism, obviously along with Open Space. And Matt LaCourt, I think I saw you call in. He is the one that has volunteered his time to do the property walks, and he has come up with this layout. Both Ben and him have come up with this layout. So to describe the picture, first of all, both Ben and Matt will be able to give you any idea of the technicalities of disc golf. That's not my expertise, of course. I know about it, but if you want to get into the details of the actual sport, you're going to have to ask them. So basically, there's 9 holes. A lot of disc golf courses have 18, but we're going with the 19 with the space we have. Disc golf is something that when you think about regular golf, you think of open space. With disc golf, they want some type of obstacles, which as you can see on this map, there are a lot, and some terrain as well, which this property also has. We have looked at the setbacks. As you can see, block 82, 4.2, and 4.1. When we did some property walks with the gentleman, we had Rich Shaw actually had a device that could measure where we were standing, where these arrows are, to the property line of both these residences. We are required to have a 30-foot setback. We have either, it's over 100 on the one and 150 on the other feet from not the house, the actual property line, which you see.
Can I interrupt this one?
Absolutely. Sure.
I meant to say this at the outset, for those who are on the phone who for whatever reason can't see this map, what we're presenting tonight is also posted on the township website. If you go to the agendas and minutes page, you should be able to find this map under today's date. So I apologize for the interruption. Go ahead.
Oh, no, that's fine. Okay. Parking. As you see, if you're familiar with the parking lot, it's sort of long and narrow that we had put in for the 5K course. I'm going to say it's about maybe 10 cars. We located that because we needed certain, at that couple years ago or 3 years ago when we put this in, we need to have a certain setback from Route 31 and that turnaround. So if we were to expand the parking lot, we could not go towards the highway. We would have to extend it to go longer. So it would be longer and narrow, but we plan on adding more parking to that lot. I'm going to say probably double it. Parking setbacks. We have been talking about actually this disc golf for quite some time. There was some rumblings, I think, a year ago on recreation, but we just couldn't figure out how to do this. I've been trying to get the word out on social media and emails and things like that about what's happening on this property. I know a lot of people are getting a little nervous about the activity of adding disc golf. There's also other things going on as far as the affordable housing going on. There is a lot of activity going on. But I'm trying to relay that. I also contacted the high school about that, just so they knew that this kind of stuff was going on, the hearing was going on, the affordable housing was going on. When I did talk to Nancy about the DEP process in the very beginning when I brought this up in January, she said that the DEP is actually very interested in things like disc golf and that a lot of municipalities are actually going down this route. She reiterated to me that disc golf and other activities are what they envision when they fund properties like this. So they're happy to see things like this. So she was very supportive. And at the time, in January and throughout the month, talking with her and council being somewhat supportive, we've moved ahead and planned for this to happen. So I hope there aren't too many snags. I did want to check. I did talk to Lieutenant Sarosa about safety. Just to throw it out there, if he ever heard of any type of thing of some type of safety issue with this type of added activity, he indicated that there was not. I also wanted to do some research as far as what other municipalities have done for disc golf. I talked to the mayor in Hillsborough. I believe you guys all received an email from him, from Carla. They also just recently put one in. I did stress that there was a concern that this type of activity would attract people from outside our township. And he basically has reiterated to me that it was a wonderful thing that they added to Hillsboro and that he saw no indication that there were crowds coming from other locations. So I think that's about it. If you have any technical questions, that's just pretty much the same layout. 1 through 9 are the holes and their distance in feet. So I don't know if you want to ask me any questions. Again, this is a new process. I know that council is going to have a discussion first, and then it's going to go comment. Correct, Brian?
Amy, are you looking for other, you had said this was going to be some open?
Right. You're free to comment now. A lot of us wanted to hear from you tonight as open space chair.
Let's do this. Let's have council ask any questions that they'd like to right now, and then we'll open the public hearing, and Mr. Shaw, you can go first. So I'll open the floor to questions from council.
To me or to Ben, Matt, or Rich?
Yes.
And any of us?
Yeah.
Okay.
I just had a curiosity question, Amy. When you posted those distances before, is that standard, or is that like up to, you know, if you have enough room, or is it just random, or could fit on that given area to make it a competition play?
I'm going to have to ask either Matt, Rich, or Ben to answer that. For the technical.
Hey, this is Matt.
Okay. He's a designer.
Go ahead, Matt.
All right. Well, basically with the distances, it's what fit into what was in front of us. The distances are pretty irrelevant when it comes to what the obstacles are and the elevation coming into play.
Okay, like I said, I was just curious.
All right, did I answer the question?
Yes, yeah. Matt, thank you.
If I could then, sure. It's Bill. It's an IHO course. I'm actually asking verification of something I think I read, but I can't find the site a second time, so I'm frustrated. But my understanding is that disc golfers, from tournament purposes, prefer bigger courses like 18, maybe like regular golf, if you will. And ours being 9, would it be safe to say that this is a great amenity for our township, but maybe not so attractive for ad hoc tournaments and things like that?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And it's absolutely. And I think after an initial curiosity check out by, you know, a lot of the local guys that have been playing, it's pretty much going to be township residents and being close to the high school utilized by those particular people.
Great. Thank you.
Yes.
You're welcome.
And if I could just add to that. So this property is remaining in path of use, which means it's consistent with Green Acres principles. And this is one of the activities that the Green Acres program, Nancy Lawrence is the community liaison for that. They deem that this is a good use, path of use for property. And one of the criteria, I'm not sure who was asking the question, one of the criteria for path of use is, well, it has to be consistent with, you know, a natural setting and so forth. But you also can't, you don't want to have anything that's going to have like larger crowds. So by definition, because of the passive use, we couldn't have a tournament on this property or anything like that.
So does that mean, Rich, we have to have signage in that regard?
I believe when we have tournaments or any sort, the township has to approve it, have proof of insurance. I don't think that the township would ever allow that. My line of thinking.
If I just pipe in, I already talked to Tom Silva about that, and anything that we're going to do is going to go through that.
So does that mean there are plans to do something if you're talking to Tom Silva?
Well, the only plans was try to have some clinics and so we can teach the residents how to play the game.
So for residents, not out of towners.
Oh no, for residents. Yeah.
Thank
absolutely.
You.
You're welcome.
So I guess there would be no request, at least from you, or the group that's spearheading this, for tournaments in the future.
No, not at all.
How long does it take to play like the 9 holes if you're, let's say, a beginner versus an expert?
Well, I would think for a beginner it would be a little bit longer, but for an expert it's probably going to be, you know, a good 40, 45 minutes and probably an hour for a newer player just because of the way it is to walk there. It's definitely, you're hiking up a couple of hills.
Right, right. What, in Hunterdon County, what other disc golf courses are there, whether they be 9 or 18?
All right. Well, I put in Alexander Township Park disc golf course in 2007. That's in Milford. I live a mile and a half from there. Camp Dakota in Pittstown, New Jersey. Hillsboro Township, which I just put that 9-hole course in November and just came back from running a disc golf clinic for the residents.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
I have a couple questions. Maybe the first would be for Mr. Shaw. How did we come to settle on this particular parcel for disc golf when I know we have a number of others in our inventories?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Yeah. Okay, good. Yeah, so Brian, you know, that's a great question. And this was not at all the place that people were pointing to. And this really came up actually from another open space member, Anjay Doyle, who a number of you may have remembered, but she actually went to the Tinicum course out in Pennsylvania and thought it would be a great thing. And I asked around and there was quite a bit of interest in having one here in Clinton Township. And it was a surprise to me. I've been throwing frisbee since I was in college. And so I talked to Tom Sylvia, who was on the call, and Tom had said that there had done some looking at it as well. And so we actually looked at a number of properties. One being, you know, is there a place for more of a parks and recreation property? And there really wasn't. And one of the things, and Amy, you said it well, that this is a sport that really is ideally played out in a forested area where you can have some challenging throws. And so that was out, and we looked at a couple of the other open space properties, and Matt McCourt and Ben Hunt, who are on the call, kind of nixed those. And then we looked at this one, and the part of the objective of that other slide way is to show that we're well away from any wetlands with this course. The wetlands are the blue area down at the bottom, and the green stuff is the forested area according to the 2012 state plan. So this was a good place for that, and there were some areas where when Matt and Ben and then the rest of us looked, we could see that the barriers were primarily things like Multiflora rosa, you know, the rose bush invasives and dead trees or trees that were falling. And those are situations where you can remove those obstacles according to any rules for open space. And so this looks like a place that we could easily operate within the open space rules. And as Amy said, we've been following those to the letter. And have a good competitive golf course.
And my next question.
I hope that answers your question.
It does. Okay. Yes. Thank you much. And my next question is: as a regular golfer, I see a lot of dog leg left that are pretty severe. I see a slight dog leg right here and here, 3 and 4. I guess my question is: wouldn't it make a little bit of sense, and would it be feasible to take hole number one and make it a dog leg right such that it provides a little bit further separation from this particular neighbor, judging just at least by this arrows.
Yeah. And in fact,
it seems to be the closest.
With my right, with my propensity to plagiarizing whenever I can, this was actually made up by Ben Hunt. And as Amy said, we then walked this, and for both 1 and 4, in looking and measuring the distances with my brand new laser distance finder, it turned out that we felt we could move those, and the aerial arrows are actually a little farther away from those boundaries that are shown on this map.
Okay.
So you're I didn't know about the term dog leg, but now I have a new term.
There you go. Any other questions from council before we open it up?
Yeah. So just to confirm that I'll call it the site work to construct a course. It's not particularly disruptive because it's open space. So there's no clear cutting. We're not cutting out live trees or anything like that. We're removing dead stuff and maybe some invasive species.
Yeah, that's correct. I don't know, Rich, if you want to elaborate. We actually just, as I have reported, have a forestry management walk over at Windy Acres, and,
right.
and we're learning a lot about clearing invasives, the proper way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we're going to apply that to probably other open space properties so we can manage the invasives on all our open space properties. But there, we definitely can identify the invasives, like the olives. We have vines, cedars that are falling over. Those would be the things that we would clear. I've made it very clear to the guys that we do not want to just chop down live trees. I think you guys know me very well enough to know I would never be on board with something like that.
And Amy doesn't want to cut down any live trees, nor do the rest of us. How would we monitor this process going forward?
Well, we can...
The process of building and not using it.
Okay. As I was about to say, I did, when you had your inquiries about us chopping trees down, Ben Hunt was actually very diligent. When he went in to start clearing some of the vines, he took before and after shots. He actually would send me a picture and ask if he could clear certain invasives that Rich and I would identify. And then he took a picture after and documented that as well. I provided a PowerPoint presentation. Actually, Ben provided the PowerPoint presentation. So if you have any questions with that, we could probably continue doing that if you'd like to monitor it that way. Is that something?
Yeah, no, I just wanted to know what the plan was.
Well, I mean, we can do that. I'm offering that if that's something that you'd be interested
okay.
in. Yes?
No, I'm just asking a question so everyone can hear the answers. You know, we're not deciding on anything tonight.
No, I was asking if that was acceptable to you, my response.
Your response is fine, yeah, but I'm not the one who's going to decide how we're going to monitor this. We're going to do that as a group.
Obviously.
So the only disruption then to the ground will be when they have to put I'll call it the post in for the, I guess, the holes that they fly the first rooster. That's approximately how big, or like a square foot, or?
We go down 2 feet.
Okay. It's like one of those solo things, sort of.
Thing.
All right.
There are also, and I feel so funny with Ben Hunt and Matt LaCourte that know this stuff speaking, but there are also so-called keys that are, they're like 8 feet by 10 feet, and those will also be made of pervious material. And that's just basically so you have a place to stand when you're going to throw the frisbee at the beginning, but that's it. And so each hole, as it were, will have one of those. And I might just say in terms of cutting vegetation on open space, there are rules on that, and I think they're very good common sense rules. So you can cut things that are dead. You can cut things that are dangerous. So I might argue, just for example, today, pretty much any elm tree could be dangerous. I'm not sure if that's quite right, but you know what? A tree that's leaning over, especially over an area where people can be walking, could be dangerous. And then invasives. And you've got to be very careful in cutting invasives, because oftentimes if you do it indiscriminately, you can cause erosion problems and things like that. But when we walked the course, we went and looked specifically at where there were, you know, as Amy said, this area isn't completely, it isn't completely
what?
Decimated.
Why'd you punch his eye?
Somebody needs to be muted.
Rich, you're going to have to unmute. I muted the wrong person.
Hello?
We got you.
Yeah. But when we walk the holes, and where to put these, and you know, Tom and Bill, as we said when we walked last week, they're still going to move around a little bit, maybe get further away from wetland type areas. But we scoped it out specifically to take where we would be able to take out, for example, autumn olives, which should be taken out anyway, and make sure that we could route these without violating the principles of vegetation removal.
Okay.
That's all I have to say.
Are there any other questions from members of the council? Hearing none, we will open the public hearing, and a couple of reminders. First and foremost, public comment on this proposed change in use will be accepted during the hearing or until May 12, 2021, and written comments can be submitted to Clinton Township Petition to Carla Connor with a copy to NJDEP Green Acres Program, attention Kevin Applegate. Those addresses and emails are on the agenda. Reminder that there'll be a 5-minute time limit peg, and that if you're using a computer, click on participants and then click on raise hand. If you're using a mobile device, click raise hand from the meeting controls. And if you are using a telephone, please press *3. *3 will raise your hand. And then to unmute yourself when you're called, please press *6. And I see a couple people have already raised their hands. In order of what I see here, we will start with Mr. Hunt.
Hello, good evening, everybody. First off, I want to say thank you for considering this project. I've been a resident of Clinton Township for over 20 years. And I've always enjoyed the open space here. I'm really excited with the prospect of adding disc golf as a recreation activity. I've been playing disc golf since a really long time, at least it feels like it, maybe the late 80s. And it's just something I love doing. I love getting outside, sometimes play with friends, sometimes play by myself. It's a great way to get outside and just kind of focus on where you are in the moment. It's also a great exercise for me. So just want to throw my support behind this project. And, again, thank you very much for consideration.
Thank you very much. And we will reset the clock here. And next I see Mr. Morissette. Mr. Morissette, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mayor. Can you hear me okay?
We sure can.
Super. Really want to echo what Ben just said. I want to thank all of you for considering this project, and also to all of you for your service to our community. I know nights like this are long, and we appreciate all that you're doing, not just with Open Space Matters. This situation just seems to me like a clear win for the township. Outdoor activities have been thriving, particularly over the last year. I think that citizens are looking for new alternative ways to get exercise. There's only so many times we can all take a couple walks around our blocks, and the recent work done in open space Whether it's this particular property or the other work that I know is underway, I just think is really exciting and really boosts the morale and also our the value, if you will, not so much financial, though I think that's a benefit too, but just the overall livability, if you will, of Clinton Township. I'm encouraged to hear that places that have already done this haven't had any adverse reactions. I think the location for this is perfect. I'm a bit biased in that I live within a mile of where it's located and look forward to using the facility. And I just have a whole lot of trust in this group, particularly when I see that the volunteer work that has already gone into the various projects and what Councilwoman Switlick has done at other properties. I know that the right decisions are going to be made about trees, vegetation. Like, I don't worry at all about anything like that. So just really want to throw my support forward. And one final comment, Mayor, to your earlier point. As a fellow golfer, I get scared looking at this layout with those dog legs. I just put a move in to maybe have more rights to take advantage of my slice. Thanks. And appreciate listening to me.
Paul, can you state your address, please?
I live at 10 Sunnyfield Drive.
Okay, thank you.
Ah, I apologize. I'll make sure to ask for that, too.
Yeah.
Okay. Next on my list is Mr. Chad. Could you please identify yourself?
Can you hear me?
Yep, we can hear you.
Perfect. Sure. My name is Ben Jaffe. I live at 6 Sierra Trail. I also am calling in to throw some support to this project. So I moved to Clinton Township about 2 years ago now, and I am really excited that there's a new local activity to do. I started playing disc golf really about 6 months ago, kind of for all the reasons that people described, is to get outside. I bring my family. I have 3 girls, 7, 5, and 2. I bring them with me. I bring my wife with me. We go out, and it's a great way to spend a little bit of time, even on cold days. So really excited about it. And so, yeah, I mean, that's basically it. I think that if there's something that's new and that's local that we can use, that I can go in after work and pop over and pick up my girls and go do, that is really exciting for me. And so I really hope that I can get the support to bring this into town. And that's it. Thanks.
All right. Thank you very much. I show the next person being Mr. Picada. Mr. Picada, please identify yourself for the record, and you're recognized.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
I'm Doug Picada. I live at 1 Skyview Garden. I'm about a mile from the course. I noticed, as other people have, that the you have the dog legs there, and people are going to try and cut the dog legs to make the distance shorter. I was not certain whether that was going to be a problem. Also, I wanted to ask how wide the fairways are going to be and what kind of walkway was going to be put on them. I also noticed that at the end of 3, going over to 4, there's an opportunity for you to be throwing at somebody who is at the disc hole for 3. So would that be a safety risk?
Okay. Mr. Picada, if I can interrupt for 2 seconds, I'm going to pause your clock, and I think I just want to see if anyone can answer your questions thus far, because I know I can't.
Hi, this is Ben Hunt. Yeah, I could tackle those questions. So could you repeat them one by one for me, please?
We can't hear you. At least I can't hear you, Doug.
Yeah, I can't. I can't hear him.
There you go.
How wide were the fairways going to be? And are you going to have are you going to equip it and make it obvious so people walk on the fairways rather than all over the place?
The nature of the topology there is it's very, very thick spruces and underbrush. So the fairways would be cleared maybe, I'm going to say, 20 feet, 25 feet approximately wide. It's going to be a very obvious path to walk on. And walking off those paths is difficult because there really aren't any other pathways there. There's a few, it would be difficult to walk off the fairways. I'll leave it at that.
Okay, what is going to happen if somebody throws their disc off the fairway?
Then they have to find their disc, which does happen. Ideally, you try and hit your fairway, but of course, that's not how it works. So, yeah, people will be off the fairways to retrieve their discs, but generally, the objective of the game is to throw as few throws as possible. So they would be trying to get back on the fairway as quickly as possible.
I also noticed, I thought there was a stream. It would cross a stream. Maybe not the big wetlands area that you indicated, and because I walked the site.
Yep.
And I noticed that there were actually fish in the stream as well. Is it actually going to cross it?
The spots that we're going to cross, I don't know if they qualify as streams. They're enough that you could step across them.
Yes, you could.
Right. They're not. We're not trying to go anywhere near wetlands, so we would just be crossing the. You know, the waterways in that sense.
Well, yeah, but it probably floods at some point. Is there going to be a restriction after it rains?
I don't have an answer to that question.
Actually, Brian, if you don't mind, Carla, Rich would be able to probably answer that question. We did look into the water situation over there. We also did speak with Andrew Hulk, who is the chair of the Environmental Commission. So Rich would probably be able to answer his discussions that he had with Andrew. Yeah. Unmute. Rich, can you unmute?
I think okay. Rich may have dropped.
No, he's up. There. I see him.
You hear me?
There you go.
Hello?
Yep.
Hi.
Yeah. Hey, Doug. How are you doing? You know, you're making a really good point. I think one thing just to caution, this piece of property, along with pretty much any other piece of property, there have been people wandering around back in these woods and making ad hoc trails since before the township bought it 25 years ago. And so there are people that go back in there, and I do understand that there are some hangouts that I don't want to shock anybody, but high school kids have gone back in there and done I don't know what back in the woods. So don't, it's not like, and this course is it's not going to make it so nobody's going to go back off the trails. They've always done that. In terms of the streams, there are, what Ben said is correct. They're one step, you step over them, and they don't, this is the Kramer Creek is a class 2 stream, and these are, upstream enough that they don't really drain, sufficient area that they're really, restricted that much. So we can have people cross these streams. If they drained larger amounts or they had, in normal conditions, higher water flow, that wouldn't be the case. But they're all, really small. And, Doug, if you went back there, I'm sure you were able to get across them pretty easily. And to your point about if it rains, I went back there when the snow was melting. And everybody here noticed that there was a lot of snow. And none of these, they really don't drain very large area because the water on the north side of Regional Road, which I think initially was part of the flowage, that was all rerouted and channeled away. And so there's actually, if you look at it on the map, a fairly small area that are drained by this. And so even when the water was coming from the snow, they weren't huge. They weren't like someplace, if you go to say Beaver Brook or Prescott Brook, when you get a lot of rain, you get a lot of water. And I will say also that people that do disc golf, and I thought that Ben Jaffe made a very, very good point about it, they're people that are outdoors, and you know, at some point, if you can't cross the stream, you can't cross the stream. You know, what can I say? But these don't qualify as streams.
All right, Mr. Picotta, you're back.
How is that, Doug?
You're muted again.
Yeah, that was adequate, Richard. I also noticed that there was a lot of down trees, some of which actually are, you know, in the process of decomposing. It would be good if some of them were just left there. I know it's good for as obstacles, so that shouldn't really be a problem.
Yeah.
I also noticed that in some areas there mm-hmm. were, like, holes that you could hurt your ankle on. Is that going to be a safety problem and liability problem for the township?
I would propose that it would be no less so than any other trail that we've got or open right. space.
Okay, yeah, that sounds reasonable. I mean, as long as people are avoiding them because they're going to be going off the trails. So as long as that risk is okay with you, that shouldn't be a problem.
Okay.
I think that's all I have.
Thank you very much.
Brian, when is it appropriate for someone counseled to ask a question based on something that Doug said?
I would say at the end. Let's let the public
okay.
finish.
Thank
there.
You.
Yep. And we'll now recognize Ms. Willard, if you wouldn't mind identifying yourself for the record.
Good evening.
You're breaking up a bit, and if you could identify yourself, name and address, please.
Caroline Willard, 42 Regional Road. Can you guys hear me now?
A little bit, yes.
Yeah.
Speak right. up.
Can you speak for the next person?
I'm sorry? Yeah, we'll come back to you. We'll come back. Next would be Mr. Corcadillas. You are recognized. Please identify yourself for the record.
Hi, Nick Corcadillas, Old Mountain Road, Clinton Township. Hear me okay?
Yeah, we got you.
Number one, I think new recreational activities in Clinton Township are great. I fully support that, but they need to be done right. So I've got a few questions. Do you have signed engineered plans?
Do you want me to answer that? No, Nick. We're going through the hearing process, and we did hire someone to design it. We're not going to go and design anything until we have appropriate approval from council and the DEP.
Is there a committee that's been set up of citizens and the people here who are interested in the project, obviously? Has some kind of committee been set up in order to discuss this and to make recommendations to the council?
Actually, Open Space, which I liaison on, we report every month. To each other, and I report back to council on the subject. So I consider Open Space being a good group of people to be able to help us with this.
But the citizens who are participating in this session here are not involved in that kind of a committee.
Oh, well, no. Any obviously, the public's allowed to make any comments or volunteer their time. Actually, I encourage it.
Mr. Shaw has been giving what you might call testimony, answering technical questions. What are his professional engineering or environmental credentials?
Mr. Shaw, would you like to speak?
Sure, Nick, how are you doing? Can you hear me? Can you hear
yep.
me?
Yeah, we got you.
Yeah. Nick, I maybe what you mean in terms of me providing testimony or stuff that would require credentials is things like me saying what the, you know, representing what the Green Acres, is that what it is? What the Green Acres rules are?
Well, you're answering technical questions.
What technical question? I'm not sure what you're looking for.
Well, it's not what I'm looking for. People have been asking questions, for example, about cutting multi-floor rows, cutting trees, doing whatever. You're making representations about what is mm-hmm. and isn't permitted. So I'm just looking for, I'm not suggesting that you have professional credentials, or whether you should have them. I'm just asking whether we're going to get any kind of professional testimony.
Not that I'm aware of. I mean, I retired, I guess, 4 or 5 years ago, and I've been working on open space. I've been working with the Green Acres people in Trenton over that time, and we've talked to a number of foresters, and I haven't represented anything beyond basic knowledge and me asking many of the questions, Nick, that you might ask here. So, you know, like what are the regulations for cutting vegetation on open space? A natural question, and I'm representing what I've been told by the Green Acres people. And in terms of clearing multiflora rows, that's I'm just saying what the foresters have told me. And what I said is you've got to be careful. You can't just haphazardly cut invasive species. However, if you're aware of, you know, drainage and things like that, multiflora rows is one of the things that they would like to have cleared out. In fact, I mentioned the controlled burn that just happened over at State Park, Round Valley State Park. One of the main things they were doing there was clearing out multiflora rows. So that's my level of technical expertise, Nick.
Listen, I appreciate all volunteers or citizens who step up to help with these projects. But when we have a public hearing and representations are being made by officials of the township about specific matters, technical issues, I think we expect to hear conclusive opinions, professional opinions. And for example, earlier, Ms. Whitlick was referring to hiring a forestry management team that's advising her and the people involved in doing things on these sites. And yet, Ms. Whitlick has overseen the cutting of trails on Windy Acres for the past year. Now, what that tells me is the people doing this work, admirable though it is, don't really know what they ought to be cutting. This is learning now. So I'm very concerned about work that's being done on Windy Acres and on this site in particular. I think it's great to have frisbee golf. I like to play myself. I hope it all comes to pass. But as one of the councilmen asked before, what is the plan? And he asked the question twice, and I'll ask it a third time, and I think both of us mean, what is the plan in writing? Talking about this stuff and discussing what we think is or isn't the case is one thing. Putting it into writing, having engineered plans, and being ready to present this to the public as a viable project is very important. I'd love to see it come to pass. But I'd love to see it done right, because I think we potentially. Let me ask you one last question, which maybe is of more concern to the people who really want to use this course. How are you actually going to keep out-of-towners out of using this site? What are you going to tell them when they show up? And under what authority will you turn them away?
Can I just respond to that? And Nick, again, I've spent quite a bit of time reviewing and talking to the Green Acres people, and I'm certainly not in any way representing myself as a technical expert, but I kind of know a bit about this. And one of the fundamental rules of any Green Acres property is that property is open to the public. You absolutely cannot place restrictions that say that, you know, somebody can't use it. Now, you know, for example, for the deer control program, the people in the township have a week head start before they sign up, but you have to make the program available to everybody. Now, I was concerned about that very thing, and I when this thing came up and Anche had mentioned that I drove around and I stopped at, I think, five courses, and I found out now that Ben, that Matt LaCourte designed three of them. Camp Tecumseh, which is turns out to be one of the highest rated courses you can get. And I went to Tinicum, which is a fantastic one. But then also, you know, there's a park over in Branchburg. There's one in Basking Ridge. And then I stopped and asked the people that were playing there. And I went on weekend. Some of them were weekends and some during. So people that were playing, just people walking around. And there really wasn't any massive influx of people or crowd in any of them, and none of them really identified any problem with people coming from, you know, the sort of what's the lake in Highbridge that had all the trouble. Nothing like that has happened on any of those. So that's an inference, Nick. It's not a direct answer. We can't put a restriction that says that people from out of town cannot use our Green Acres properties.
I think, and I don't want to belabor this, but I think that the comment from earlier was essentially that this being a nine-hole course, it wouldn't draw as large a crowd of folks from all around. But Mr. Porcellos, have you other questions or comments?
It's hardly been discussed, and I missed it. Where are the funds coming for this project, Tom?
I reported back on February 24th, we budgeted $5,000 out of open space funds, $3,500 for the equipment, $500 for the design, and the remainder for supplies.
So we're getting engineered plans for $500?
Actually, Matt LaCourte, who's on the call, is generously only charging us $500. That's correct.
I'm sorry, is he an engineer?
I think you just heard Rich's testimony on his ability to create disc golf courses, correct?
Matt is considered one of the top disc golf designers. I mean, he designed the one at Camp Tecumseh, which is as high up as it goes, and he's done a number of others in the area. So I don't know that there's something like getting a bachelor's degree or a master's degree in disc golf design. You know, I don't know that it's a certification, but Matt is a recognized expert in designing courses. And I was really astonished when, frankly, Matt, you did this work for the price that you charged us.
I think that's wonderful, but I'm not concerned about the course itself or the layout. What I'm concerned about is its impact on environmental features of the site. Is he qualified to be able to work around those and be able to document and sign off that it's been done properly and according to environmental rules?
Do you have any other questions, Mr. Perkins?
I'm kind of talked out.
Me too. I'm done now.
So there's no answer to the question.
I believe it's been answered already.
So Mr. McCourt is qualified to sign off on a technical level as an engineer or environmental consultant?
I'm not sure where you're driving at as far as what environmental would be required.
What I'm driving at is this project going to be properly engineered, and will someone who is accountable in a professional level, certified level, licensed level, sign off on the design of this project? In other words, what is the plan? What do we have in writing other than that nice drawing that somebody did? I'm not trying to be negative, Brian. I just want to make sure this is done right. A whole lot seems to be getting done on the fly because somebody wants it done. So that's really all I have to say. Good luck with this project. I hope it works out. I hope it's done properly. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
It's got hot tonight.
I'm sorry. We're going to now go to Mr. Shaw. We're going to skip you. Your hand was raised, but we're going to go to Ms. Willard again. We'll see if this works.
Good evening. Thank you. Apologies for that. Hopefully you guys can hear me now.
We sure can. Please identify your name and address, please.
Yes. Caroline Willard, 42 Regional Road. So we're very excited about the Frisbee Golf Course. We are big fans of the fitness trail. So the question that I had was, will that be open and available to the public during construction of the golf course?
The 5K trail? Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay.
Absolutely.
Excellent. Wonderful.
And we are trying to reroute it as well. So, yeah.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you for your perseverance. All right. I don't see any other hands raised at this point in time. I would ask that anyone who is on the phone, if they'd like to speak, press star 6. Hearing none, if there is anyone online who didn't get a chance to speak or couldn't figure out how to raise their hand. Oh, there's a JS. I now acknowledge JS. Please identify yourself for the record.
Jason Stewart, Ellerton Road, Clinton Township. I'm calling to ask some questions regarding this. When you will be cutting for the fairways, will there be any exposing of the surrounding tree roots along the trail?
I don't know who wants to answer that, but I'll answer that. No, the answer is no.
So it won't, the fairway won't be digging out any of the topsoil of these trees, roots?
No.
And has it been addressed as to how it will affect the habitat and species in that area?
Oh, my God.
Well, I would like to call your attention to the 2018 Clinton Township Open Space and Recreational Plan, and under Passive Recreation Needs Analysis, it says there, with the number of acres contained in county and state parks within the township, it is difficult to express a deficit of passive recreation lands. And we do have quite a few recreational facilities within our township, but we seem to be losing more and more of the habitat, not only due to the building that's been taking place, but also that we've had insects and diseases that have hurt the trees. We're very concerned about the trees. And as far as the falling, the cutting down the dead trees, many species make use of the dead trees for homes. So it's part of protecting our habitat. And originally when this property was purchased, the intention of open space is to protect our natural resources. And again, referring to the 2018 Clinton Township Open Space and Recreational Plan, page 20, it speaks there, the benefits of acquiring open space go far beyond creating additional recreational facilities. We should be safeguarding open space to ensure the viability of fragile ecosystems and to support the high environmental quality and of our area. So it appears to me there's not much concern. It's like just building things on open space and I just think this is like an overreach of the township. To we have so much recreation all around us. We've got Spruce Run.
Can I interrupt for a moment, please?
No, please do not.
We had Spruce Run, Round Valley. We have all these other parks and that we've created, and I have to say, and right there on the Marukian Trail there, every time I've gone there, most of the people I've met aren't even from Clinton Township. They're from Branchburg, Plainfield, all around. And as mentioned, there are discourses nearby that if someone really wanted to play, we could go someplace else. And I just think to allow this destruction of the habitat for these different species that are living there was not what was intended when we voted for open space. People envisioned fields and farms and vistas and trees. And our trees all over New Jersey have been impacted, like I said, with insects and disease and people cutting down for views and this and so on. And these trees communicate with their roots and everything. And I find it hard to believe that you can make a 20-foot swath through the woods and not be taking down new saplings and so forth.
Does that conclude your comment?
Yes, I am not for this project. I think we should respect the habitat, the species that are there, and the trees. And this is just an overkill for something that is not for the benefit of really. We voted for conservation, not really all this destruction and making paths and everything.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Springwell. Are there any other members of the public who wish to speak? Who I might have missed. Please unmute yourself if you'd like to speak. Okay, hearing none, I will close the public hearing for this. Again, as a reminder, public comment is open for two more weeks via writing. Instructions can be found on the agenda. And with that, we will move to the public hearing for...
I think Tom had a question.
I'm sorry. You're right. I apologize. I forgot.
Something that Doug said. He had a question.
I did, but it was brought up by someone else asking, so I don't need to say anything. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. I appreciate it, and I apologize.
I actually have a question. Maybe Trishka or someone could advise, because as I said, this is something new. We just now know that we have to wait till August date to actually take action. So we're obviously not going to do it now, and we're not doing it after the two weeks of comment session. And it's my understanding that at that date, if the council approves it, at that date, we can start with the construction of this. Is this correct?
I believe so, but let me just pull up my timeline and make sure that I'm not misspeaking. I believe that is the case.
When I spoke with Nancy, that she was giving me sort of that, I just wanted to double check with you. The reason why I bring that up is this is a long period of time where obviously the 2 weeks, obviously we need to listen to comments all along, but we really would like to, if this is approved, to start in August so the residents can start using this course and not have to start putting it in when it's snowing out. That being said, am I going to get any idea of if this is going to go through with council? Should I start with Ben and trying to get volunteers together? So when we do, if we do get approval, we can start and not wait. I mean, straw poll, anything? I mean, I have no guidance here.
I mean, nothing stops the council from giving some opinions now, but the public comment period isn't even closed for another 2 weeks.
Oh, obviously. No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying after that.
I guess we could, in June, maybe we could discuss it briefly.
Okay.
And not make it decision.
You could discuss, but you really can't do anything. I mean, the regulation states clearly you have to have a public hearing a minimum of 90 days before taking final action. So I think you need to respect what's what's in the regulations that were enacted. You can absolutely discuss it.
Okay.
But I would be very reluctant to do anything that could look or seem like an approval.
Agree. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. With that, we will move to the...
I guess I do have a question based on what Amy said. Sorry. How long does it take to get it up and running from, let's say, day one of construction, as someone said? Maybe that question's for the volunteers.
I don't know if Matt's on here anymore.
I'm still here.
Oh, hi, Matt. Sorry.
Hello.
Hi.
Oh, no worries. Listen, to tell you the truth, starting in August, it's going to add another month to it. It's going to take us at least a month and a half to 2 months to get the course ready, especially because it's going to be so overgrown. That's why it was really crucial for us to start when we were, when everything was down. I hope that answers the question.
It does. Thank you, Matt.
You're welcome.
Okay. I think we're good now. So we'll move on to the hearing for an ordinance appropriating $65,000 from the Capital Improvement Fund for police department equipment by the Township of Clinton in the County of Hunterdon, State of New Jersey. This is to allow the department to acquire body cameras and to comply with the recent guidance and requirements issued by the Attorney General's Office and the bill that was signed into law by Governor Murphy a few months ago. Are there any questions, comments on the part of council? We have Lieutenant DeRosa still on the phone, I think. But I think we certainly need to
get out here. Yes, sir.
And not hearing any questions, I will open the public hearing. Is there any member of the public who would like to comment on this? Please, I think we're losing some folks, so if you're interested, raise your hand or even just unmute yourself. Hearing none, may I have a motion? I'll close the public hearing. May I have a motion in favor of the ordinance?
I'll move.
Oh, I'll second.
Thank you.
Councilman Glazer?
Yes.
Councilman Strauss?
Yes.
Councilwoman Switlick?
Yes.
Council President Kasinowski?
Yes.
Mayor Malloy?
Yes.
Motion carried.
Thank you very much. Under resolutions, we will go straight to number 9, resolution appointing an alternate public defender, Anthony Rotunno. He's done this before. Does anyone here have any concern or question? Member of the council, that is?
No.
No.
Okay. Not hearing any. Can I have a motion, please?
I'll move.
I'll second.
Councilman Glazer?
Yes.
Councilman Strauss?
Yes.
Councilwoman Klitlick?
Yes.
Council President Kasinowski?
Yes.
And Mayor Malloy?
Yes. We will skip over the resolution for the alternate prosecutor at this time. The next resolution is resolution authorizing the purchase of True Liberty Interview Recorder Package from the Educational Services Commission of New Jersey, ESCNJ, contract number ESCNJ 20/21-29, not to exceed $15,000. And this is, again, part of the requirement for body cameras. Lieutenant DeRosa, I think this and the following resolution are both required for you to get this system up and running. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And do you expect that you'll have this system in operation if we adopt these resolutions in time to meet that deadline, correct?
Yeah, I want to get going on it right away, actually, the interview system.
Any other comments or questions on the part of the council?
No.
Discussion? All right. Hearing none, may I have a motion for this first resolution?
So moved.
I'll second.
Councilman Glazer?
Yes.
Councilman Strauss?
Yes.
Councilwoman Switlick?
Yes.
Council President Kochanowski?
Yes.
And Mayor Malloy?
Yes. Next, thank you. The next resolution is authorizing the purchase of police department body cameras from state contract number 17-fleet-00793, not to exceed $6,000. And I think this one's pretty straightforward. Any questions, concerns on the part of council?
No.
I'll move the resolution.
Thank you. I have a second.
Second.
So, Councilman Glaser?
Yes.
Councilman Strauss?
Yes.
Councilwoman Swartland?
Yes.
Council President Kochanowski?
Yes.
And Mayor Malloy?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you, Senator Rosa. I appreciate your attendance. Actually, wait, we got you. For you. Hold on, we have more for you. Yep.
Okay.
Yep. Resolution appointing Paulette Nukovic as part-time administrative agent for the police department. This is, as we discussed earlier, to help the department process all of this new body camera footage and all the administrative effort that goes along with, hopefully write some grants in their spare time and help with discovery and evidence, et cetera, I believe. Correct, Lieutenant?
Absolutely. It's going to be a big help.
Okay.
So this is a relatively permanent part-time position, I'm thinking. This is an ongoing sort of exercise, the body cam, redaction, and all of that.
Yeah, she can help out with OPRA, also expungements. We're getting inundated with all that kind of stuff.
Okay.
Redact for the body cameras and everything like that.
And we lost a special last year to retirement. And
yes.
Did not replace. So this, in essence, replaces that person.
Thank you.
Exactly.
I'll move the resolution.
Is there a second? I'll second.
Don't move.
Councilman Glaser?
Yes.
Councilman Strauss?
Yes.
Councilwoman Switlick?
Yes.
Council President Kochanowski?
Yes.
And Mayor Malloy?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you much. Now, Lieutenant, you are free to go. Appreciate it.
Perfect.
Thank you. For the last resolution, I'm going to recuse due to the appearance of a conflict. So I'm going to hand the reins over to Mr. Kochanowski, Council President Kochanowski, and I'll be here but muted and no video.
Okay. So we have a resolution amending resolution number 53-2021, awarding a contract to CMC Energy Services as the DPU direct install contractor for energy efficient measures various township facilities, not to exceed $15,373.10. This was a study that was overseen by Michael Wright, our building inspector, presented at a prior meeting. Any questions or comments on the part of council?
Tom, could we summarize what the basis of the amendment is, sort of like why we're amending what we did originally?
The HVAC system wasn't included on the last one.
Perfect. Yeah, it should have been.
Sure, but, yeah. And well, it was going to, they thought it was going to put us over the limit for the grant, but then they came back and refigured everything, and we can now include that. It's perfect. About a difference of about $2,900 to the township, but right. Again, the long-term effect will be. Good.
Yep.
Yeah. Thank you, Vita. Yeah, the long-term effect is still positive.
Sure. I move the resolution then.
Are you making a motion?
I make a motion, yeah.
I'll second.
Can I have a second?
I'll second.
Thank you.
Yes.
Councilman Strauss?
Yes.
Councilwoman Switlick?
Yes.
Council President Kochanowski?
Yes.
And Mayor Malloy. Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, here it is.
Sorry. Motion carries.
All right, I'm back. Thank you very much, Council President Kochanowski. And we'll now open the last public comment session. This is for items not on the agenda. We'll have a 3-minute limit. And as before, if you're on virtually, please raise your hand. Should be able to find that next to your name, push the button. And if you're on the phone, star 3, and then star 6 to unmute. So at this time, is there anyone in the public who wishes to make a comment? I don't see any hands raised. I don't see any people on the phone. So I'd ask anyone, just in case, if you'd like to speak, unmute yourself, go ahead. Not hearing anything. Nope, not hearing anything. We'll close the public comments. And at this point in time, it is 8:55 p.m. I would like to ask for an executive session pursuant to what appears on the agenda. I don't know, Trishka, do I need to read it off?
You don't, but I think just if you want to just briefly, for the benefit of the members of the public who are on the line, just briefly explain, you don't have to read the whole resolution, but just what the purpose is.
Right. So this is, this is an executive session to discuss items, including pending litigation, pending or anticipated litigation, contract negotiation, matters falling within the attorney-client privilege involving the township's third round affordable housing plan and settlement agreement with the Fair Share Housing Center. At this point in time, we will not be taking any action in closed session. We don't know exactly when the matters will be made public or be able to be disclosed, and we do not anticipate taking actions when we come out of executive session either. So with that said, may I have a motion to go into executive session?
I'll move.
I'll second.
Roll call, please.
Councilman Glazer?
Yes.
Councilman Strauss?
Yes.
Councilwoman Slitwick?
Yes.
Council President Kaczynowski?
Yes.
And Mayor Malloy. Motion carries.
Yes, thank you all very much. So what we're going to do is, if anyone wishes to stick around, you're welcome to do so. What we're going to do is I'm going to put everyone who's still in the meeting, who is not going to be participating in the executive session in the...
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, it's currently 10:06 p.m. We have just left executive session, took no action, and plan to take no action. May I have a motion to adjourn, please?
I move to adjourn.
Second, please.
Second.
And a roll call.
Councilman Glazer?
Yes.
Councilman Strauss?
Yes.
Councilwoman Slitwick?
Yes.
Council President Kaczynowski?
Yes.
And Mayor Malloy, we are adjourned.
Yes, thank you all. We haven't had one of these long ones in a while.